Tehran substitute Frada prayers leader urges Muslims vigilance over enemies' plots. 680 educational, sports, and recreational projects were inaugurated on the second day of the 10-day dawn celebrations. Bahraini protesters continue rallies against Al Khalifa regime. Russia denies possible four-party meeting in Syria. And Egypt protesters clash with police at President Morsi's palace. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of IRIN in English News with me, Niwan Chitsas. Tehran substitute Frada prayers leader says Muslims should remain vigilant about the plots hatched by the U.S. and its allies and do not allow enemies to manipulate them. Addressing worshippers, Hujjatul Islam Qasim Sadiri said, all Muslims should be united against the enemies and their plots, as any effort to create division in the Muslim community is against public interests. The cleric further pointed out that the U.S. and its allies are hatching plots to hinder the progress of Muslims by forming phony groups which stand against the real Islam. Referring to the situation in Syria, the cleric said, some regional governments encourage fratricide, fan the flames of violence in Syria, and have become tools in the hands of the enemy to hurt Islam instead of uniting Muslims to stand against Western arrogant powers. Concurrent with the second day of the 10-day dawn celebrations, marking the 34th triumph anniversary of Iran's Islamic Revolution, 680 educational, sports, and recreational projects were simultaneously inaugurated in the country. 33 of these projects were inaugurated in the capital city of Tehran. The Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad attended the inaugural ceremony of one of the projects in Tehran's 19th district. Now my colleague has filed a report about a ski resort in southern city of Shiraz in Iranian Fars province. Let's take a look.
Pulatkaf ski resort in Fars province is located 80 kilometers northwest of Shiraz. The hills of Zagros Mountains in this region have created a suitable space for different sports under snow-covered slopes.
We have a safest lift and also a gondola or telecabin. We have a school for the ski. And we have snowmobiles. We have also here the snow guns to produce snow. And in tourism facilities, we have a four-star hotel here and several restaurants, fast food, coffee shops.
Nice weather and fine facilities attract thousands of Iranian and foreign tourists to this ski resort.
In the winter, I will try to come here as an entertainment, as a hobby, and it's very interesting now. I'm very happy.
It's a nice place around Shiraz, snowing, and that's a good area for pleasure.
Weather in the Pulatkaf is very good. It's more of the days. It's sunny, and this is the only international peace in south of Iran.
It have a good peace. I like it. That's why I come here. In Iran also we have peace, but there is not good. Here is better.
Although this is the southest ski resort in the northern part of the world, but we have around 5 months ski possibility here. We have very good snow rain until April. The skiers can come here and use these facilities here.
Thousands of Bahraini protesters have staged anti-regime protest rallies near the capital, Manama. The protesters shouted slogans against the Al Khalifa regime and called on Bahraini Prime Minister Khalifa bin Salman Al Khalifa to step down. They accused Khalifa of directing the crackdown on opposition activists and several other human rights violations. The demonstrators have also called for the immediate release of political prisoners and have threatened to continue their protests until their demands are met. referring to a call by King Hamad in January 23 for a new round of national dialogue. Professor said this dialogue is obscure and does not reflect a serious will on the part of the authorities to meet popular demands. Bahraini Southerners staging demonstrations since mid-February 2011, demanding political reform and a constitutional monarchy, a demand that later changed to an outright call for the ouster of the ruling Al Khalifa family. The International Envoy for Syria, Lakhdar Brahimi, is scheduled to meet with high-ranking U.S. and Russian officials on the sidelines of a security conference in Munich. Addressing a daily news briefing, the deputy UN spokesman said, Brahimi is expected to have bilateral meetings with U.S. Vice President Joe Biden and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. However, Russia denied that its representatives were planning to participate in a four-party meeting in Syria on the sidelines of Munich conference. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister said Moscow believed that the action group in Syria should convene for a second Geneva meeting. Moreover, following the Zionist regime's strike on a research center near the Syrian capital, the Secretary General of Organization of Islamic Cooperation condemned such attacks. Ekmeluddin Esenoglu said such attacks will increase the imbalance in the Middle East. Egypt's security forces have clashed with opposition protesters near the presidential palace in Cairo after demonstrators attacked the premises with stones and petrol bombs. The security forces used water cannon and fired shots into the air to disperse the protesters who had gathered outside the palace and called for the downfall of President Mohamed Morsi. Earlier on Friday, Egyptian police clashed with dozens of protesters on the main road outside the capital's Liberation Square and near the U.S. and British embassies. Witnesses said police also fired birdshot at demonstrators, wounding at least two people. Security forces have blocked off most of the roads with concrete walls to prevent protesters from approaching government offices. This is while Morsi warned that the government will take decisive measures to protect state buildings as opposition protesters clash with security forces outside government offices. And now here's the recap of the main stories. Taiwan substitute Friday prayers leader urges Muslims vigilance over enemies' plots. 680 educational, sports, and recreational projects were inaugurated on the second day of the 10-day dawn celebrations. Bahraini protesters continue rallies against Al Khalifa regime. Russia denies possible four-party meeting in Syria. And Egypt protesters clash with police at President Morsi's palace. An explosion outside a U.S. embassy in the Turkish capital of Ankara has killed at least two people and wounded several others. According to Turkish sources, the two dead were security guards. It was not immediately known what caused the explosion, but some reports say a suspected bomber detonated his explosives inside a security checkpoint at the entrance to the embassy's visa section. The explosion caused damage to the checkpoint, but there was no damage inside the embassy. The force of the blast also damaged nearby buildings in the Kankaya neighborhood, where many other state institutions and embassies are located. No group has so far claimed responsibility for the attack.
I heard a big explosion while I was driving past the U.S. embassy. It was really noisy. My car even shook. I got closer to the scene and I saw smoke rising above the building. After that, ambulances and fire trucks started to arrive.
In Portugal, the increasing economic crisis has made people unable to meet new regulations about house mortgages or pay back the loans they took from different banks. My colleague is more.
Many of these houses are up for auction since owners can't pay their loans. In Lisbon area, there are hundreds of similar cases, properties being sold by a fraction of their price and now belonging to banks. Since the beginning of this month, a new law has been introduced trying to regulate the situation of mortgages without involving courts. Clients who can't pay their loans or are at risk of stop paying are receiving letters from their banks. According to the government, there are around 1 million families in Portugal over-indebted. 3 in 4 Portuguese reach the end of month with no credit on their bank accounts and without being able to pay all their bills.
É muito difícil.
This situation is predicted to get worse already this month with the rise of taxes and a cut on salaries. 2013 has just begun, but is expected to be a year quite challenging for Portugal. Inês Sutil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
At least 22 people were killed and 40 others injured in a bomb attack carried out near a Shia mosque in northwestern Pakistan. According to district police, a suicide bomber exploded his explosives jacket outside a mosque when people were leaving after offering the Friday prayer in the Pat Bazaar area of Hangu, a restive district of northwestern province of Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. Earlier reports said the attack was carried out by exploding a remote-controlled bomb that was fixed in a motorbike parked outside a mosque, but later the district police confirmed that it was a suicide blast. Hospital sources said out of those wounded, 6 people were seriously injured and had been shifted to the neighboring Kohat district for intensive care. According to the police, around 7 to 8 kilograms of explosives was used in the blast. Soon after the grave incident, security forces cordoned off the area. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack yet. Meanwhile, more than 500 protesters took to the streets in Karachi and in the capital Islamabad to protest against the killing of 3 Sunni clerics in Karachi a day earlier. The protesters urged the government to quickly arrest those responsible.
As long as the real killers of our religious leaders are not apprehended, we will consider the interior minister and the Sindh government as their murderers.
The death toll from a powerful explosion at the headquarters of Mexican oil giant Petroles Mexicano, Pemex, has risen to 32. The head of the company said at the moment we have confirmed 32 deaths, adding that 52 people remain hospitalized. The cause of the explosion is still unclear. The explosion occurred on Thursday in Pemex Tower in downtown Mexico City. More than 100 people were injured. A search for possible survivors is still continuing. A new official U.S. study says that nearly 22 war veterans of the country commit suicide per day. According to a report issued in the Washington Post on Friday, this figure is almost 20% higher than the 2007 rate suggested by government's Department of Veteran Affairs. The 2-year study further suggested that 2/3 of the veterans who kill themselves are 50-year-old or older, indicating that the surge in the suicide rate is not chiefly shaped by troops recently fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. The report also said the overall number of suicides in the U.S. climbed by about 11% between 2007 and 2010. According to the study's data, the men in their 50s, which consists of a considerable percentage of the American war veteran population, have been especially hard hit by the national surge in suicide rate. And finally, the humanitarian situation in Mali following the outbreak of the French war has worsened and forced thousands of people to flee their homes. Some 380,000 people are left without shelter as the French war entered its 4th week. This comes as the United States, Canada, Britain, Belgium, Germany and Denmark have voiced support for the French war. Meantime, human rights group Amnesty International said the French-led offensive in Mali had led to extrajudicial killings by Malian soldiers and the death of civilians in airstrikes. Amnesty had called for an independent investigation.
Before our arrival, around January 23rd, we received some information that some people had been arrested in Sevar and led to a well and executed there by the Malian army. We asked if there had been any warning addressed to the civilians who were there, and the civilians told us there had been no warning at all. We sent a letter to the defense minister and asked him to launch an independent, impartial inquiry regarding the death of those people.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.